Hi guys, my name is Kenny Dussault, and this is the Elite Development Podcast. The goal of this show is documenting my journey as a coach, things I see in the industry, mistakes I see athletes make, things that I know you need to avoid. So basically, my goal is to help athletes avoid the difficult pitfalls of the world of elite performance sport and to help them reach their true potential. So if you are an up-and-coming athlete that is trying to build the career of your dreams, make sure you're following along this show. Make sure you go subscribe on the YouTube channel, on the podcast, and everywhere else you can. And now, let's get to the episode. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Elite Development Podcast, the number one show for athletes looking to gain an edge on their opponents and build their dream careers in sport. I'm your host, Kenny Dussault, and today we are doing some Q&A. And yeah, let's get into it. So question number one, I'm just going to scroll up a little bit here. Tips on getting improved foot stability. So this is actually something that I've been working on myself very recently. So Coach Dar that rents at our gym has been giving me some tips on that and how it actually improves like the stability and the strength all the way up the chain, which is awesome. I've been doing it for a couple of months and feeling some really, really huge changes. So I'm going to try to talk you through it without showing, because it's a little bit of a weird thing to try and stick the camera down to my foot. And this is an audio podcast too. But what you're going to do is barefoot, flatten your foot to the floor. So make sure as much as possible, all of your toes are on the floor, your heel is pressed into the floor, and you're flat to the floor. And then what you're going to do from there is without letting your toes come up, you're just going to raise your big toe. Raise your big toe and hold it for 10 seconds and then bring it back down to the floor and then raise all your other toes, hold those for 10 seconds and then come back down to the floor and repeat just like that. Now, that's the first drill that I've been doing and it's been working really well. I feel more stable even just like squatting, doing any kind of lateral hops or lateral movements. Usually I do like 3 to 5 sets of 10 seconds on each side. And then once I do the 3 to 5 sets of 10 seconds, I'll rest for a couple of minutes and then I'll do that 3 times. The other drill that I do for that as well is basically almost the same thing, but just reps. So it's like pressing all the toes down into the floor, raise just the big toe and then just bring it back down. And without letting your other toes move, try to move just the big toe 10 to 15 times, pause it at the top, bring it back down to the bottom and repeat 10 to 15 reps. And then you're going to repeat that again, 3 to 5 sets of 10 to 15 reps on each foot. So those are the first 2 foot stability drills that personally I've been working on that have been helping me a lot. So hopefully that gets you off to a good start. Okay, let's scroll down and find that next question. How are you so handsome? You know what? I don't know. I was just born this way. Lucky, I guess. All right. Hey, coach, what would you recommend if I'm feeling pain in my left shoulder, my rotator cuff? I haven't checked it out yet, but I'm worried when rolling. So number one thing with pain anywhere, guys, is use pain as a guideline. Like if you're feeling like, obviously there's a difference between like, I'm a little bit sore today and that hurts. And if you're feeling like the sharp stabbing, like pain, not like, hey, I'm sore from a hard workout pain, then that's your body trying to tell you something's wrong. Right. So the first thing with that is don't just say whatever and try to push through it. Understand that that's your body telling you that something's wrong. And that means you need to take care of whatever that problem is. So the first thing I always tell athletes when they feel any kind of injury, like whether it's like sharp stabbing pain or like, you know, a strain or anything like that, give it a day or two, right? If you feel like you've injured something and you give it 2 days and then it feels fine, awesome. It's probably not too serious. Like maybe you want to throw in a little bit of extra stability work or something like that instead. Anyways, but if you give it a day or two and it doesn't get any better, now that's telling me it's time to go get it checked out, right? So one of the biggest mistakes I see athletes make with injury is avoid getting it checked out because they're like, oh, I don't want to take time off training. But if you keep training through, and again, I don't know what the actual problem is with your rotator cuff at this time, because obviously I don't have all the information and I haven't seen it or checked it out. But if you just keep training through it, and it gets worse and worse and worse, it turns into a bad problem that now you need a lot of time off for, when right now it could just be a really minor thing that you just take a week and then you'll be fine, right? So any recommendation with injuries, always give it a day or two. If you don't see any improvement, go get it checked out by a qualified professional, a sports therapy professional. And then they can give you an assessment to figure out what is wrong and what needs to be done for it. Now, the other thing is, when you get back to training from injury, pain is always your guideline. So if I'm helping rehab an injury with an athlete, what I always want to think is wherever the pain line is. So it's like, you know, for example, with like a hip injury, if we're doing squats and the athlete says coming down to a 90 degree angle hurts, then we're going to go to slightly above that 90 degree angle. And if it hurts with 185 pounds on the bar, we're going to go to 135 pounds and do reps with that. 155 pounds, maybe do reps with that, right? Wherever that line is, where it's like, if I do this, this hurts, we want to be right below that line. And the reason for that is we want to keep you as strong and healthy as possible while not causing you any more problems, right? Because if going to 90 degrees in the squat hurts and you keep going to 90 degrees and it keeps hurting more, we're making that hip worse. And the goal of training is to help you win in your sport. And if you're injuring yourself in your training because you don't want to take time off, you're not helping yourself win in your sport by being more injured. You're helping yourself win in your sport by taking a step back, actually helping recover that injury, and then coming back to it at 100% when you're able to. The next question that came through, I dislocated my left shoulder and I am a righty. How to improve power in the left hand? So one of the most important things when it comes to like an imbalance like that, when you have an old injury, is you never want to overwork the injured side. You want to work them both equally. Because what I see a lot of people do is either they work both sides to failure, but the right side is stronger than the left, so they do three or four more reps on the right side because they want to make sure it's tired too. But then that imbalance never gets better, right? If you're 25% imbalanced, as an example, then you're going to remain 25% imbalanced, but you're just going to get stronger on both sides, but you're always going to be imbalanced. So what you want to do is you want to work it to the weaker side, right? So if you're doing like a dumbbell bench press with that left shoulder that's a little bit weaker than your right, then whatever weight the left shoulder can handle and however many reps the left shoulder can do is how many the right does, even though it doesn't feel like it's working it as hard. And then in terms of improving power, the big thing is don't think about improving power in the left hand. Think about improving power through the whole body. And think about improving strength through the right shoulder, through the right arm. Because by improving the strength, you're going to give the left arm more stability, which is what it needs. And by improving the power through the whole body, through the hips, through the torso, through the shoulders, that improved power through a more stable arm is going to be able to generate more power for you. All right. Ways to improve shoulder stability and prevent shoulder dislocation re-injury. We've kind of gone over that already, but just quick recap. If you want to improve shoulder stability, number one, both sides get worked together, so you're not overworking one side because it's stronger. Number two is making sure that you're using pain as a guideline, right? So it's like if your shoulder is a little bit unstable, then you're not trying to push so hard to like make it a max weight. You're trying to push to the point where you're feeling that instability, you're feeling that shoulder working, and not overdoing it from there. And then the big thing too is making sure we're hitting that shoulder in every plane. So like a dumbbell bench press, even though it's a chest exercise, is going to hit stability in your shoulder. Overhead press with a dumbbell is going to hit stability in your shoulder. A dumbbell row, getting into lateral raises, depending on where it's at. Anything that's going to build the strength through that whole joint is going to help improve the stability. And then as the stability improves is when we want to throw more explosive power things in there. If the shoulder is still feeling unstable, I wouldn't be doing any kind of plyometric, any kind of like landmine heaves or any kind of like hard med ball throws or anything like that until you've got that stability back. But what I would start to do is with those exercises that I mentioned, 3 to 5 sets, 10 to 12 reps per side, always work them both equally, and just really focus on nothing moving through the torso, only moving through the arm. So we're really maximizing the effect on the shoulder, and we're not trying to overdo it and like lift more weight, but compensate using the whole back or using like a heave with the shoulder press or anything like that. Nice footwork drills for an amateur. I am not a skills coach, so I'm going to pass over that question. Okay. Loses stamina or breath while combinations. Losing stamina or breath while combinations. I'm going to assume that is like you're like getting tired while throwing hard combinations. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to look at my profile and find the anaerobic alactic conditioning work that I talk about. I've made hundreds of those videos. And the big thing that I'm going to reinforce with you before you go watch them is they're very short work times and longer rest times. So like one example is 15 seconds of work, 60 seconds of rest for 10 to 12 rounds of that can be an air bike. That can be a circuit where you're doing like med ball slams, kettlebell swings, battle ropes. Anything that you can maintain 100% intensity with. The biggest mistake I see people make with that kind of work is they start to take away the rest time, and they take away the rest time thinking 15 seconds isn't making me tired enough. But the goal of this circuit is to help you work at 100%. So if you're not getting tired enough, quote unquote, in that 15 seconds, it means you're not pushing hard enough. So don't take the rest time away, put more into the work time. And that's where you're going to get better effect. I'd be doing that 2 to 3 times a week for 3 to 4 weeks. And you're going to start noticing that power and the combination start to come back. Please make a short video on what to do in the gym for an athlete from Monday to Saturday. Watch the videos on my page because I had 1,000+ videos talking about different things athletes should be doing in the gym. And then as far as like just what to do from Monday to Saturday, the problem with making a video like that is that changes on like a million different factors. How old are you? How much training experience do you have? Do you have a fight coming up? Are you in your off season right now? Do you have any injuries that you're dealing with? Like what kind of work schedule do you have? What kind of training schedule do you have? Like there are so many factors that like take away from being able to just say, hey, do this Monday to Saturday, that I'm not going to do just this is what you should do Monday to Saturday, because every person's different and every person has different needs. And it would be a disservice from me to just be like, this is exactly what you need to do on every single day. That's why a lot of my videos are like, if you're working on this, this is a good way to do it. And it's not just, hey, this is everything you need to do, because there's no way to sum it up like that. If there was a way to sum it up like that, first of all, my job wouldn't exist. But second of all, like everybody's cardio would be amazing because they would just be, hey, do these 5 workouts every week and then that's it. Right. So I'm not going to make that just like this is what you do Monday to Saturday. But if you keep watching my videos, depending on what you're actually working on, we've got a lot of videos out there on like different types of strength workouts, different types of explosive power workouts, conditioning workouts, speed workouts, how to balance workouts. Like all the information is there. But then the goal of my page is all the information is there for you to do it yourself for free. But then you've got to figure out what do I need and then how do I balance that together. Let's see if we've got more questions. How many days do you recommend doing strength and conditioning? 2 to 3. Now, I know a lot of people that are listening to this are going to think like, what? Only 2 to 3? Like, but you've got to grind harder than anyone in the world if you're going to be successful. And yes, hard work is extremely important, but a couple of things on that point. Number one, you're already working hard in your skills training, right? You're already training a lot more. It's not like I'm saying you should only do physical activity 2 to 3 times a week, but the strength and conditioning, the way that I had an athlete put it to me one time, which I really liked, was the strength and conditioning work is like the seasoning on the meal, right? The important thing is the skills work, but the people who are doing both are going to have the skill set, but they're going to be stronger, faster, more explosive, and better conditioned than the people who are just doing skill work. So you don't need to do as much skill work as you do. You don't need to do as much strength and conditioning, sorry, as you do skill work, but it needs to be equally as important that you're getting it in, because if you're getting it in the right way, it's complementing the skill work and making you a better athlete. The problem that I see a lot of athletes make, the mistake I see a lot of athletes make with strength and conditioning is too much. And because they're doing too much, what starts to happen is their body is beat up and they're not getting a lot out of their skill sessions. And then, so they're training super hard, but they're not advancing because their body's always beat up. So my job as the strength coach is to find the balance to help you train hard, but not beat your body so much up so much that you can't do your skill work. And when we find that balance, we get the improvements in the athleticism, the improvements in the skill set, and then everything together creates the better athlete. All right. Any other questions? Gonna keep going down. Okay. I do lots of push-ups through the week in the weight room. I choose to do overhead press for my push movement to maintain horizontal vertical press balance. Is that a good choice? Yes, because horizontal and vertical press balance is definitely a good thing. But the other thing would be making sure that you're balancing that out with like bent over rows and things like that as well, right? Because if you're just pressing, you're just doing like, you know, horizontal press with a push-up, vertical press with a military press, and you're not doing any pulling, what starts to happen is your shoulders start to rotate. Your shoulders start to anteriorly rotate. I think I said that wrong, but I hope you guys get what I mean. They start to roll forward. And what happens is then you get really tight. That's why you see a lot of fighters with that posture where they're almost like hunched over in their shoulders. But by building up the strength in the back, now you've got more stability through your whole shoulder joint. So any angle you're throwing punches at, you're going to be stronger and more stable. So yes, it's good to balance that out, but make sure we're balancing that out with pulling movements as well to build strength and stability through the whole upper body chain, not just pressing. What is the best leg workout for MMA? So there isn't one. There's not like one workout that like, hey, you need to do this. The key is building the strength, building the power, building the speed, right? So when it comes to building the strength, it all depends on what you got access to, right? Anything that is going to build a good amount of strength in your legs is a good strength workout for MMA. Then it just depends on how you're balancing it, right? If you go in and you do a crazy leg day on Saturday and then you try to spar on Sunday, that leg workout probably wasn't a good thing because it probably took away from your sparring session. So in terms of the best leg workouts for MMA, think about what you actually need physically, in order to improve your performance in the sport. Are your legs weak? Is it a lack of conditioning? Like you start moving around a lot and your legs gas out and you start feeling like they're like jelly legged. Are they stiff? Like, do you have bad knees? Like what are the issues that if you fixed will best improve your performance specifically in MMA? And that is the best leg workout. There's not one overarching one. It depends on you, where you're at, and what you need. All right, what should be my first step before my first fight? Training. Like, make sure you're in shape. Make sure you're training hard. That's it. And the reason I say that, and also make sure you're training hard in a good gym. Like, there are a lot of shitty gyms out there, unfortunately, that I think throw athletes into fights way too early that aren't actually ready. But if you're in a good, reputable gym, you're training consistently, you're working hard, you're making improvements. And then the other thing I would say too is just talk to your coaches, right? And be like, because again, every person's going to be different. Some people might have different struggles that they have that are going to negatively affect them in the fight. So biggest thing is just making sure you're ready. And the way you make sure you're ready is be in conversations with your coaches. Hey, before I take my first fight, what do you need to see from me? What improvements do you need me to make? What areas do you feel like might be a problem for me in my fights? And make sure you're having that communication, you're having those conversations. And if they don't have answers for you, like if you say, hey, like, what do you need to see from me? And they're like, I don't know, probably get out of that gym. But if they're coming to you and they're saying like, okay, we need to see, you know, XYZ improvement from you before you step into the ring, and then you spend time working on that, you make those improvements, now it's time to take a fight. How do I approach a coach and tell them I want to fight even though I have some fat on my body? So number one, having some fat on your body does not mean that you can't fight. Physique is not everything. But number two, again, I don't know how much fat we're talking about here. So if you are overweight and you are not in shape to fight, that is a problem, right? There's a couple of different ways with this. So way number one that I look at is, let's say like you're in decent shape, but you're just carrying a little bit of extra fat, but you can go the three hard rounds that you need to. Your skills are really good. You're showing up to training consistently. Like, then you just talk to your coach and you say, hey, like, I want to fight. I believe I'm ready. What needs to change for me to be able to take fights? Because if you go to the regional scene anywhere, not every athlete is in phenomenal shape. Now, are a lot of them in phenomenal shape? Of course. But physique is not everything. And if the only thing, like if your coach is saying like, yeah, all your skills are good, you're in good shape, but you're not fighting because you're carrying a little bit of extra body fat, that's a really weird problem to have. If your coach is saying, hey, look, I don't believe you're in shape or I don't believe you're ready, now maybe it's time to look in the mirror and it's time to say, okay, what do I need to do to get rid of this so that I can put myself in better shape so that I can make sure that I'm ready and my coach believes that I'm ready to go. All right, guys, we have time for one more questions. One more question. All right. 2 days in the gym, upper and lower body for a boxer. Is it enough? Yes. Now, I wouldn't split it into an upper day and a lower day. I would do full body work on both days. Now, the reason I say that is because, and the reason I have all my athletes doing full body training sessions instead of splitting it into a lower and an upper, is because I want to work the whole body as much as I can without overworking the whole body ever, right? If you go do a lower body day and it's an absolute killer and then you're training the next day, your legs probably aren't going to feel very good. You're probably not going to get a lot out of your training. But if you do a full body day with a little less volume through the whole body, but hitting everything, and then you do that again 4 days later, 3 days later, now you're going to get more overall reps through your body, but you're not going to overwork any area and take away from your skills training. So 2 days of strength and conditioning, I firmly do believe is enough. I have a lot of my guys doing 2 days. My guys always range from 2 to 3 plus a recovery day. But it would just be the way you're splitting it up. And it would also depend on what you're doing on that day, right? Because plyometrics, also very important for boxing. Conditioning work, also very important for boxing. So if you're just going in and lifting, probably not. If you're adding plyometric work in there, conditioning work in there, all the elements of building an athlete, 2 days absolutely can cover you. It's just how you set it up. So guys, that is it. That is all. I appreciate you all for tuning in. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. And as always, this is one of my favorite things to do in the week. So I appreciate you guys all tuning in. I appreciate you taking the time. And I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. And I will catch you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Elite Development Podcast. Now remember, information without execution is useless. So take what you learned in the show today and go figure out how you can apply it to your career to start making progress right away. My one ask of you is share the show around. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you're following on all the social media platforms. The links on how to do that will be in the show notes below. And in turn, have a great day, and I can't wait to see you on the next episode.